You're listening to Kent Sparks, senior pastor of Beach Cities Community Church in Huntington Beach, California. Beach City's mission is helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally through teaching and preaching through the Bible, the Word of God.
Thank you, Dave, girls, and guys. Thanks so much. Well, welcome, gang. Let's try that again. Welcome, gang. Let's try Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Let's try that a little better. All right, I feel like we've got some love in the room going now. As you know, this is our Christmas Eve service, and when you think about the Christmas season, it usually fills you with romantic thoughts and sentimental memories. And when I think about it, I think about when I was growing up. I grew up in a kind of a lower middle class family, and when we got into the Christmas season, we would get for our gifts the school clothes that we were going to wear in the wintertime. Our birthdays all occurred in the summer, so we get our fall clothes for summer. We're excited to wear them, you know, being cool at school. But by the time Christmas came, they're all worn out. And so at Christmas, we'd be getting all kinds of new clothes for the winter and spring. And then summer, it didn't matter. You could wear anything, right? It's not a monologue. You could wear anything, right? Yeah, there you go. You can wear whatever you wanted. So I remember I'm in like third or fourth grade, and I get this Christmas gift sweater. Now, I'm a third, fourth grade boy. How many of you guys remember being that age? Anybody? You men? Yeah. How would you like getting a sweater with leather buttons on it? This is your big Christmas gift, you know, the big one, the one you're really excited about. You're going, are you kidding me? And so I have this look on my face. I got this Christmas sweater, and I'm going, oh, man, I can't even wear this to school. I look like a knob. It was just awful. And so my dad could see this look on my face, you know, and he's looking at me, and I've got this disappointed look on my face, apparently. And I just, he's looking at me, he goes, you know what? You've got a bad attitude for Christmas. You need to go in the other room and adjust your attitude. And so I go into the other room, and hokey Dinah, there's a Schwinn Stingray bicycle with my name on it, with a banana seat and a sissy bar. This thing was awesome. I'm just trembling with glee. Oh my goodness. And then, you know, all the other guys, they have their little shock absorber in the front on that Schwinn Stingray. Remember that, guys? I know the younger men, they don't know how cool and slick those things were. And they had their banana seats, and they were all white, right? My banana seat was leopard skin. I was the coolest fool on the block. And in those days, we didn't worry about all the things we worry about today. So when you get a bicycle, it's like getting a car. I could pedal to my friend's house and have a blast pounding around with him. It was incredible. This was the greatest Christmas ever for me. Of course, I was only 8 or 9 by then, but it's the best one I ever had at that time, right? And that's the kind of stuff that goes through our mind when we think about Christmas memories. But that isn't really the message of Christmas, is it? That gives us a little bit of a picture on a small scale of what Christmas is really about. When we give gifts to one another, it's because of the gift that God gave us. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about the real message of Christmas. And it has 5 words in it. Well, if I use this hand, 4.5. 5 words in it. You'll get that a little bit later. All right? Yeah, one of the fingers is cut off. Anyways, so we get five words that you guys can remember to help us focus on the meaning of Christmas. Does that sound good? All right, let's start with the first word. You ready? I want you to repeat it after me. I'll say it, and then you just repeat it. Word number one for Christmas, so you can remember what it's really all about. Word number one is God. You say God? God, all right. Who's God? God is the person who created everything. Everything that is because God is. I know that's going to confuse some of you. Depends on what the meaning of is. Nonetheless, it remains the same. He created everything. He created the stars. He created the universe. He created the planets that are in the universe. He created all the universes beyond our universe. God is the beginning of everything. And then he created the earth. And on the earth, he created all the fish that go through the sea and all the birds that fly through the sky and all the monkeys that swing in the jungle and all the animals that run through the plains and all the ducks that just sit in ponds and all the deer that get hunted by hunters. God created all that stuff. And he also created you and me. He created people. And God's word says that when God created people, it was the greatest part of his creation. In fact, people are even more magnificent than angels themselves. That's what God's word says. In fact, it says that angels in heaven long to look into what God is doing in the lives of people. And the reason is only human beings, people, have been created in the image of God. Nothing else in creation bears the image of God but mankind. And God did that because he wants to have an intimate, personal, loving relationship with people. They are his children. They are called his offspring in the book of Ephesians, part of God's word. God loves his kids that he created. He loves them, and he wants an intimate, personal, real relationship with them, just like you want a real, intimate, personal relationship with your own children, who to some degree bear your image. Sorry about that. Right? God wants that relationship. But that brings us to word number two. Word number two, say it with me, sin.
Sin.
Sin. Yeah, let's try that again. Sin. Sin entered into the world, and it corrupted the creation of God and corrupted the nature of man. And wherever sin enters into any relationship, the relationship then is damaged because it creates separation. So if I'm driving down the street with my wife, and I sin against her by saying something mean or harsh or angry to her, what's she going to do? She's going to pull away. She's going to emotionally separate herself from me, isn't she? How many of you guys figured that out? You can say yes. Yes, that's what happens. Sin always causes separation. There's no exceptions. It always causes it. And God, who loves his children, is experiencing separation from them because of our sin. In fact, God's word says that his ear is not so dull that he can't hear us, nor is his arm so short that he can't reach us, but it is our sin that has separated us from God. So God, who loves his children, wants to have an intimate personal relationship with them, can't, because he is holy. And we've brought sin into the relationship. We've damaged it. We can't have that intimate, personal, close, individual relationship with our Father in heaven. That's kind of bad news. But that leads us to word number three. You ready for word number three? Savior. Say that. Savior. That's right. God looks down from heaven. He sees these children that he loves. He sees that they have separated themselves from him by their sin and their selfishness and all that goes with it. And he says, I'm going to solve the problem. I'm going to send my son to be their savior. I'm going to send him on a rescue mission to bring them back to me. He's going to come from heaven to earth and take on human form and be known as Jesus of Nazareth, his human name. Son of God is his real identity. The Son of God takes on human flesh in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, and we call that what? The day that happened. It begins with a C, and it's on the board under the word Mary. We call that day what? Christmas. That's right. That's what Christmas celebrates. It celebrates God, who loves his kids, sees that they're in big trouble, sends his son to go and rescue them. So he has to take on human flesh so he can be a representative of the human race. So that whatever he accomplishes, he can accomplish for us as the team captain. And so when he took on human flesh and then lived a perfect life before God, then he offered his life up in death to pay the penalty for our sin. Because where there is sin, there has to be a penalty paid in order to secure a reconciled relationship. So Jesus was our substitute. God punished him on the cross so that we wouldn't have to be punished for our sin. That's why when you're going to sing some of these carols later, they're going to talk about that. They're going to talk about that exchange that's taking place. And that's what the gospel message is. That's the good news. You and I cannot be good enough to get ourselves into heaven because we'd have to be 100% perfect. Because God is perfect and heaven is perfect, and if someone imperfect comes in, they mess the whole place up. And I don't think there's anyone here who said, I've been perfect up to this point in time in my life. So even if you're going to reform today, you still can't make it. So Jesus then became our substitute, and he offered himself for us. That's great, but that doesn't mean everybody's in. Why? Fourth word. You ready? Fourth word. We have God, we have sin, we have the Savior Jesus. You ready for word four? Say it with me. It's the F word, faith.
Faith.
Faith. The look on some of your faces. Shame on you. It's the faith word. Faith means that God offers this opportunity for reconciliation. And if you want it, you accept it. Faith is saying, God, I accept the offer you're making so that I can be back into a relationship with you. What am I putting my faith in? I'm putting my faith in the promise of God. You see, God's word says that the wages of sin is death, separation. That's what the root word of death is in the Bible. It's separation. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when I, by faith, invite Jesus to come into my life, he takes away all my sins and pours into my record book before the eyes of God his perfect righteousness and his perfect merits. Everything he earned gets attributed to me because he's the team captain. Isn't that a good deal? So he gets my sin, I get his holiness. Isn't that good? That's the best. That's why it's called good news. That's really great news. I can't earn it. I can't get up a bunch of merits and do a lot of good spiritual things to make up for my past. It's impossible. I'm not perfect and I'm not infinite. My crimes cannot be paid for by me, but God offered an infinite sacrifice in his son so that those crimes could be paid by him. So faith responds to this. Jesus says, in the last book of the Bible, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into them and have fellowship with them. In other words, have a relationship with them. So faith is then opening the door to Jesus because he promised to come in. Another way is explained in God's word is if whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. God, save me from my sin and its consequences. Send Jesus, as you promised, to come into my life and do that. If you do that, that's exercising faith the moment you say and do that. This is how we get our relationship restored with God. So we exercise faith. And then what happens when we exercise faith? By asking Jesus, come into my life, fulfill your promise, take away my sin, make me right in my relationship with God. What happens? Word number five. Life. Say it with me. Life. That's what this whole Christmas thing's about. It's about how God has sent his son to give us life. It's called eternal life. We have biological life, but we don't have eternal life until we've invited Jesus to come in and give us the very life of God. He plants the seed of eternal life in us, and then it grows over time. And what is eternal life? It's life characteristic of the Eternal One Himself. It's God's kind of life. It never ends, because God's life never ends. But it also has these characteristics: love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control and other things along those lines. That is the eternal life that is offered. So I'm reconciled in my relationship with God. I'm given the life of God in seed form, and it grows over time as I walk with God, as I read His Word, as I pray and fellowship with Him and build my relationship with Him. I take on more and more of those characteristics, and then when I get into heaven, I have it all in mature form. Isn't that good news? That's why the Christmas message is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. There's all five of those words in that one verse. God, sin, Savior, faith, life. That's the message of Christmas. That's what this is all about. And the gifts we give to one another are symbolic representations of the gift God offers us at Christmas. They're symbolic representations of His offer of eternal life. They're gifts because they weren't earned. We receive them because we're loved by the person that gave it to us. And eternal life is not earned, it's simply received because it's offered by a loving God. Now, I want to leave you with two things. Two things. The first is this. You say, what do I make of this gift? I want to tell you this as kindly as I can, that in a month from now, every person who can hear me, whether you're in this room or the youth warehouse, you will be alive and consciously aware. In a year from now, you will be alive and consciously aware. In a decade from now, you will be alive and consciously aware. In a century from now, you will be alive and consciously aware. In 1,000 years, a millennium from now, you will be alive and consciously aware. In 1,000,000,000 years, you will be alive and consciously aware. And you will be alive and consciously aware in one of two conditions. Alive and consciously aware that you're under the judgment of God for rejecting the gospel and His offer at Christmas. Or you'll be alive and consciously aware of being in the presence of His blessing, where there is fullness of love and joy and peace and patience and all that great stuff. The choice is yours. And if you appear before God and you turn down the offer He makes in the gospel, He's going to remind you of December 24th, 2013, when you heard it and said, "No, I don't want the deal. I'm out." You'll have no excuse, is my point. So the good news is you can say yes. That's why it's such good news. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to shape up. You don't have to pretend to live differently. All you have to do is say, "Yes, I'll take that. I admit I'm a sinner. I believe that You sent the Savior. I accept the Savior into my life to take away my sin, make me right with You, plant the seed of eternal life in me, Jesus. I'm ready to go." If you do that, that's called exercising faith. You will be saved. You will be consciously aware and alive in the presence of God for all eternity. That's the offer of Christmas. That's the message of Christmas. And that's what I want to encourage you to embrace. Now, I know some of you are thinking, "But I got questions." I don't care. Answer them later. Get in now. You got the rest of your life to answer your questions. Reminds me of young guys dating a girl, and they say, you know, I remember this guy was telling me, "I don't know if I should marry this girl." I said, "What? I've got questions." Well, all you're going to do is keep multiplying questions, marry the girl, and answer the questions later. Is she what you're looking for? Yeah? Good enough. Sign the deal. Isn't that right, ladies? Yeah, single girls, you ought to really applaud here. Give these numbskulls a help. Well, the same thing with God. You're not going to get all your questions answered. That's the fool's game. You're buying the lie. You don't have to have all your questions answered before you're in. You just need to know that's the offer and I want it. It's for free. Now, here's the deal. I'll tell you this. If you don't like it, you can say, God, I have questions. They're not answered now. I know I was in. Take me out. I want to go to hell. I don't want the deal anymore. The eternal life thing, I'm out. Get me out. Didn't answer my questions. You can do that if you like, all right? But in the meantime, get in. Get in. It's the best deal in the world. That's why it's called the gospel message. And that's the message of Christmas. Now, for those of you who've already done that, and this is my final word, that is what we celebrate at this time of year. And what I want to encourage you to do as you're doing your last-minute shopping and racing to family obligations and interacting with people, some that you'll like and some you really don't like, but you have to be there because there's some sort of legal requirement because of marriage and stuff. Hey, I have a real life, believe me. We all face that. Keep that in the forefront of your mind. That what I'm celebrating here, even if I'm a little agitated by the people around me, is this incredible gift, the gift of God, which is eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, my Lord. And walk around with a grateful heart and with that message seen in your countenance and in the way you interact with everyone. And be a light to those other people who haven't got the message yet by your example. Let that life of God that's in you produce his love and his joy and his peace to give them a taste of the goodness of God, to drive their attention to the gift that he offers at Christmas time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you love us so deeply, that you solved the problem we could not solve. We cannot be good enough because we cannot be perfect to earn our way into heaven. That's why it's called a gift of grace. You offer it freely for all who will accept it and not turn it down. And Father, I'm so encouraged by what Jesus told us when he said, whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. Father, I pray that everyone who's here and can hear me tonight would come to Jesus and experience his love and his forgiveness and receive the gift of eternal life for the asking. Help them to put aside the questions for now and make it a quest the rest of their life to answer those questions, but for now, to make sure they're in. And then for the rest of us, Lord, I pray that we would celebrate the true meaning of Christmas, which is the gift of God in the person of Jesus Christ, and that we would worship him and keep him in the forefront of our mind and heart this Christmas week. For we pray it now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.
You have been listening to Kent Sparks, founding and senior pastor of Beach Cities Community Church. Located in Huntington Beach, California, Beach Cities Church has been helping people find Christ and grow since 1985. This is a listener-supported podcast. For information on supporting this ministry, or for more information on Pastor Kent Sparks and Beach Cities Church, log on to beachcitiesoneword.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.